It's your SNL Stand By Line podcast with your hosts, Jill and Amanda.
Hello, you're listening to another episode of the Stand By Line. I'm Amanda.
I'm Jill.
And today we're going to talk about the episode with Kristen Stewart and Coldplay. That's episode 5 of the season. Can you believe?
Yes, 5 in a row we've done. This is the most in a row we've ever done.
That's true. We didn't get to go to every episode last season.
But this season we will be at every episode.
Ma'am. We will. There's no news. I have no news
There's really no news?
No.
I guess nobody's doing anything?
Well, I mean, everybody's tripping.
Oh, wait, there is news.
What?
80s news that she just released today.
Oh, yeah. Shrill season 2 will be out shortly.
Yeah, in January, right? Eight new episodes? I think so. January, February, 8 new episodes.
Yeah, she was filming it over the summer, of course.
Yes. That is exciting news.
Yeah, I love Shrill. I guess we can just jump in besides that because I don't have anything else. I got nothing.
Trying to think if anybody had news. I mean, Michael Che controversy, but I mean, there's always that every week.
I have no comment on this.
I don't think there is any news.
Nothing.
Nothing, I guess.
All right, so we'll jump straight in.
Nothing with our girl Cecily? She's not doing anything? Bummer. That's a bummer. Anyways.
Well, she's apparently filming something because she posted it on her Instagram story, but I don't know what that is.
Oh, yeah. Well, I need to know what that is, so. Anyways.
Why don't you ask her?
Well, I should. Anyways. The cold open. We'll start there.
Yeah, it was Kate as Elizabeth Warren. At, like, what, in the school gym situation.
In, like, Iowa.
Yeah. I mean, everything, for the most part, was the same in live as it was in dress. But one thing you didn't get to see is I had a really good view of Kate from...
Being Kate.
Yeah, just being Kate. But, like, right before Heidi's character called her up on stage, Kate was, like, jumping / running in place at the side of the stage for, like, 2 seconds.
She was fully pumping herself up to play Elizabeth Warren.
Jump out on stage as Elizabeth. It was really great.
It was pretty funny to watch, like, watch herself getting in character just to pump up.
And right before she did that, she had her back turned to the audience because, she has to get in her zone. And it was quite a lengthy monologue, so I get it.
I think they used Kate in Cold Open this week because their ratings have not been so good this season, and they know that Kate will always get them good ratings.
Didn't I hear that the Kristen Stewart episode outperformed all the rest this season?
No, I think that's what some Twitter people said.
Well, that's what I mean. I heard it. I haven't verified.
I don't verify that fact at all.
You're not a verification site, so you can't
verify
it.
No, I meant in Twitter as, like, Twitter fans, I think, were saying that.
That doesn't mean it's wrong.
What, do you think it was the best episode of the season?
No, I don't mean best, I mean outperformed in ratings.
I don't know about that. I think the premiere still has the most as last I heard.
Anyway, what I'm saying is I think I heard somebody say that.
Well, I think the one that has the least for this season is still the Phoebe Waller-Taylor episode.
Which doesn't seem right either. I'll have to look at the stats and get back to everybody.
Yeah, because it might be chance. I don't know, but we'll see. Anyways, overall, their ratings this season as a whole have not been...
Great.
Phenomenal. So, also, what else in the cold open? Oh, Cecily had a different line when she said, in live show, she said, I'm going to need to see the math for that when Elizabeth was talking about stuff. And then in dress, she actually, the joke was that Kate was saying something about, like, oh, when Cecily's character had said, a trillion, whatever, and Kate's character was going on about, like, a fwajula, cool, blah, 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 like, making up
fungillion
numbers or whatever.
Because they're fake.
And then in live, Cecily said, I'm going to need to see the math for that. But in dress, she said, that's not right, Senator. That's not how it works.
And then Kate, as Elizabeth said, let me show you the math.
Yeah.
So she prompted it. And I guess they just wanted to cut a line, so they gave that kind of to Cecily instead.
Yeah. And then also in dress, Chloe had, this was funny. Chloe had a lot more props, which made the joke, I thought, a lot funnier in dress than it was in live.
Yeah, she had like a blanket wrapped around her
shoulders
and like tissue boxes while she was crying about her bad insurance / boyfriend.
It was pretty funny. The props made it pretty good.
Next up was the monologue. First things first, in dress rehearsal, there was this entire bit where Kristen was stripping off clothing.
Yeah, her jacket, her shoes, and she like made a joke as if she was going to take her shirt off, but she didn't.
Yeah, I didn't get it. And there was also a bit about, like, remember like how famous it was where she said that she's so fucking excited in the monologue last time she hosted? this time she was saying
that was what she started with too. She came out on stage and started right with that about how she
everybody was nervous about
on,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she said, "But I promise I'm not gonna fish it up." And then she said, "Oh, except I just did right there." So we thought that they were gonna keep that and then bleep it where she says "fish it up."
The way she delivered the sentence in dress was just awkward, and it made it seem like it wasn't trying to be funny. It was she was putting a word in that they were going to bleep later on.
Yeah, it was weird.
So they took, I guess they felt like it just didn't go well, so they just took it out.
Yeah, which by the way, the monologue, I mean, it was better in live. In dress rehearsal, it was
not
flat.
Good. Yeah, not good. Not good. And then the only difference really was that when Beck and Kyle came out at the end dressed as Kristen, first of all, Beck also was shirtless. In live show, he had a shirt on. He was shirtless in dress. And the joke was actually that their shirts flew open and their chest showed. So they were like, "Oh my God, my nipples are out. I just showed my nipples on TV."
And then they ran off stage.
Yeah, and then they ran off stage, which I thought was funnier than the one they did in live. The one in live was kind of awkward.
It was all
I don't
kinda
know.
Weird.
It was just, it wasn't a good model.
Yeah, and your first sketch for live was the Rosie the Riveter. Everything was basically the same in that one, except that in dress rehearsal, it was second to last sketch. And Kate actually came out and did Goodnight's in for Rosie the Riveter.
So there was a sketch in dress rehearsal after that Rosie the Riveter one that Kate was not in. She had ample 10-minute opportunity to go change her clothes.
Quite some time.
And she did not. She stayed in her little overalls outfit for Rosie the Riveter and came out on the stage in that. And it was pretty funny.
Just being fully on brand.
I literally was like, Kate had plenty of time to change. Why is she still in that?
That is exactly what she said. Next up was the Duolingo Digital, which is basically the same, but I had a minor observation. There's a little clip in that where it's like teaching about small children the Got Your Nose game, and those two clips were switched. Like in live, I think it was, you see the phone screen and it's showing you how to do it, and then it shows Kristen doing it. But in dress rehearsal, those two were switched, and I was like, that doesn't make any sense, but they fixed it.
Oh, I did not notice.
Yeah, well, I don't know how I did.
So next we have the paint couleur sketch, which if you listen to our podcast regularly and you remember back from it was our very first behind the scenes episode from the BTS Emma Stone show.
We talked all about it
because it was cut from that show and they brought it back. That was what, 6 months, 7 months, 8 months later. So that happens all the time.
Shout out to our friend Maddie, who said, "Oh yeah, but I saw that on TV," and we were like, I thought they cut that. And she said, "Oh no, I heard it on your podcast."
Yeah. So that was cool. That sketch came out and we immediately were all like, "Oh my God, they're doing this.
They're doing couleurs." So basically you saw everything that we like tried to describe last April.
You should go back and listen to our Emma BTS episode and listen to us talk about the sketch and see the differences.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the differences was that Kyle, like the whole boyfriend part, was not in the previous run through. That was added. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of funny. So
yeah, pretty funny. So I mean, 80 kills it. And I thought that sketch is not funny personally, but
I think it's funny. I think 80 and Beck are just bring it.
I think that 80 is hilarious and everything she does in that sketch is hilarious. I think the concept of it didn't hit for me, but 80 was amazing as always.
She's kind of a genius.
Oh my God, my favorite sketch of the night that made it to air.
Yeah, it's gonna be one. It's the canine press briefing situation where they brought in the dog who was involved in the ISIS raid, and Cecily was the like translator,
of course.
Also, first things first, Kristen was not in this sketch and it was
weird. And tell the people what your theory was, but it's kind of, your theory's kind of been thrown out the window and now we just have no explanation because it made it to live show.
Right. I was wondering if maybe they were doing a trial run on that for maybe a cold open since Kristen wasn't in it. But I mean, it was just played like a regular sketch. So I don't know. I guess sometimes that happens, but it's very rare for the host to not be in a sketch.
In the last 3 years I've been going, I truly cannot remember maybe more than one sketch that's ever happened.
I've never seen it. Just like the Fitbit Digital, but that's a digital.
Right. I've never seen that. Anyways, when Amanda said that, I was like, oh man, you're probably right. That's probably what they're doing just to fill it. And then it made it to the live show and we were like, well, I guess it really just is a sketch.
Guess so. In dress rehearsal, the dog wasn't really barking either. It kind of did the same things.
So funny.
It was really, like, we could see The actual dog trainer was mm-hmm. also, I don't know if that dog was actually military or not, but the actual dog trainer was dressed in the same military fatigues as Cecily and Chris.
I think they did that
to,
I think they did that to make the dog think. But the military person was, or military person, the dog trainer, the real life dog trainer was standing behind the camera and she was doing this signal like, when you close your hand in a fist and then open it. And she kept doing that over and over again, which, you know, obviously.
That is a signal for bark.
That's a signal for bark. And the dog stared her dead in the eye and watched. Like, this woman must have carpal tunnel after this because she must have done it 500 times.
She was trying so hard.
During the sketch, I swear, like, and the dog just stared at her and wouldn't bark. He actually did bark a lot more in dress.
He
started off barking right away.
Yeah, in dress he did. And then he kind of stopped. I guess he got tired of it. But, I mean, it gave them the heads up to have to have the track of the dog growling and whimpering and stuff like that.
Because that
was not in dress.
Yeah, that track they did over it was not in dress. The weird growling noises. But, I mean, Cecily was having the best time with this dog because, again, it's dress and they'd never practiced it before in front of the audience. So she wasn't expecting this dog not to bark. And her improv in dress with this sketch was phenomenal.
I mean, it was. It was pretty good in live, too, but it was even funnier in dress.
Yeah, because she, I mean, at least in live show, she had some warning. In dress, she did it. And, like, she would say little things, like, I don't even know. I can't. She would just say little things, and it was great. I really was impressed with her improv and how good she handled that with the dog not barking.
Yeah, she was amazing.
And he kept trying to lay down, and she was like, stop.
You can hear her in the live show telling him to sit because he's trying to make a break for it.
And then he was kissing her face. And some person was like, what is it with SNL and dogs this season? I'm like, no. Please, Cecily's been doing sketches with dogs for years on this show.
And she loves it.
She loves it. And they love her.
It's true. Also, during this one, when Kate was Kellyanne, when she walked off stage, she was literally sitting on the side of the stage watching the monitor, and she was laughing at Cecily's struggle with this dog, which I loved. But at one point, I think she was so amused with it, she stopped watching the monitor entirely and turned her body around so she could watch it happen in real life.
Which they often do. If they're still in a sketch, they kind of just go off to the side and they sit on the edge of the stage. So really the only thing that changed from this was they cut out a joke, like a, it was a, when they were saying, like, Adie was like, I was just on dog Twitter and I found this stuff about you. Can you explain the video? And the dog started barking and Cecily interpreted it. And she was like, oh, the porn video, that dog told me it was 2 years old, which is 18 years in dog years.
Two and a half.
Oh, 2.5, which is 18 in dog years and blah, blah, blah.
That was funny.
And then the butt of the joke was like, Adie was like, that's not the video I was talking about. But so they cut that whole part out.
But it was funny. After that one, the Kickflip Corporate Nightmare Digital came on. That was the same thing. They didn't really edit anything that I, noticed.
No.
And then Coldplay came out and did their first set. They were having some sort of issues with the microphones at the show.
In dress. Everybody's microphones was...
Well, I mean, in live, the acoustics were really good in the opening of this first performance in dress rehearsal. Mm-hmm. And in live, I didn't even hear him singing.
Yeah, they had a bad mic night.
Yeah, in the monologue, I forgot to mention it. In the monologue, Kristen's mic crackled.
And in several sketches, you like, her mic wasn't on.
Yeah, you couldn't hear her. In the monologue also, where Pete was, like, involved in that, he was off to the side doing it. But there was something with the mics where, like, he said, oh, hey, I can answer questions, but you couldn't really hear him. And then while he was talking, his mic kicked on. And then the camera cut back to Kristen, and then her mic was off. So there was something going on with the microphones. And I just noticed it in this Coldplay performance. Also, in dress rehearsal, if you look in the background when, like, Chris Martin is sitting in the audience chairs there, all of that was black, which is not normal. It's usually, like, wood color. So they must have, like, painted it black for that specifically because they knew it would be on camera. Except in live, you can see part of the coffee shop set piece.
Yeah, interesting. I don't know if they messed that up or what it was.
Yeah, I was wondering if maybe that's why it was released as cut for time, because you saw part of the set piece.
Yeah, so after that was Weekend Update.
None of the jokes naming the cities where Donald Trump was booed were in dress rehearsal, and where Che said something like, even Cosby can get cheers in Philly, or whatever, he can play Philly. Like, none of that was in dress, so that was added between.
Another thing that wasn't in dress was the joke about Beto speaking Spanish. And I think a lot of these get added because sometimes they bomb so hard in dress that they're like, we just have to write a new joke completely.
Yeah, maybe so. Also, that bit about, like, the prisoners helping fight fires in California. There was that joke about, like, Che wants the violent prisoners to be involved, too, because he would rather somebody who could make the fire their bitch, whatever. But in dress rehearsal, he said something, it was something closer along, like, he would rather have the violent prisoners because they can do a drive-by but with a water hose, which is actually kind of funny.
And then there was a joke about Rudy Giuliani's face recognition that was new, that wasn't in dress. The main joke about him was, but they added that part.
All right, and then we had our first guest feature, which was Melissa doing Riley the Kid Genius and Heidi playing her mom.
Oh my god, the best of the night.
It was so fun.
Honestly, that's been one of my favorite Weekend Update characters this season, point blank.
Yeah, it was amazing.
So funny.
It was funny. In dress rehearsal, like that whole thing where he was asking Riley the Kid Genius how the spaceship lands horizontally. And in dress rehearsal, what he asked is he focused on her saying, it's one of the first ones. So then he was like, so what was the first one? And she was like, what?
And another thing in dress, when they started doing the flashcards, when Che started doing the flashcards with her, I felt from that point on it kind of rushed to the end and it didn't get as good of an ending. But in dress, they made it last a little longer, and I think it made it a bit funnier because Melissa had more time to work with it and she didn't have to rush. But I mean, shout out to her. That was a phenomenal character. I hope we see her again.
I really thought that they had altered her voice. Jill had to tell me that she does this on her Instagram.
It was
all
her
the time.
Real voice. That's Melissa's crazy. That talented.
She's so talented.
Please bring her. I saw somebody on Twitter be like, oh good, Melissa on Update where she belongs. And I was like, yeah. Her characters are phenomenal.
It's true. Next up, we have the feature of Kate and Adie doing the Meat Cousins. I don't remember their names, but you guys know who we're talking about. One of the funny things in that.
Meat Cousins?
Yeah, that's what I wrote, Meat Cousins. One of the funniest things, though, like, I mean, this was really super funny the first time they did it. Not as funny the second time, but one of the sausage links fell out of the basket as soon as they slid it across the table. And Adie, in character, because she's so quick, she goes, oh, look, that one's trying to make a break for it.
With these characters, I don't know. I think Kate kind of gives up and she's like laughing during the whole thing, but not laughing. She's just got a big smile on her face. But she has a terrible time breaking during this sketch. She can't hold it together.
But she really tries.
You can tell how much she dislikes the meat and the fish the entire time, because Kate's just like, whatever, but Adie's like, oh my god.
Yeah, but
dying inside.
In dress rehearsal, Kate accidentally touched the fish at like the end of the segment. So she was like, as they were rolling off stage, she was like wiping her hands and the fish juice on her shirt. And I was like, bro, you have to wear that again.
Amanda goes, Kate, what are you doing? Or what'd you say? You were like, good, Kate, wipe it on your shirt that you have to wear again.
Yeah, so you can just smell like fish guts.
Both her and Adie, when they were walking off stage, they were so tickled and just like, oh my, they were like, just like, oh my god. And like, they were acting like they couldn't because they had to deal with that basket of fish.
And in dress rehearsal, Adie did not stroke Colin's chin with that crab leg.
That was improv.
That was amazing.
Unfortunately, very sadly, they cut Ego again this week. How dare, like, anyway, she should not have been cut. This week she did a character called Every Conservative Black Woman on Fox News.
Which she, as soon as she rolled in, she said, Colin, I just want to say first, all lives matter. And he was like, we're not talking about that. And she said, no, it's just how I enter a room.
This character reminded me of, like, Cecily's girl you don't want to start a conversation with at a party, but it was Ego's version of, like, just a Fox News woman who's black but Republican and loves Trump. And just, there was this one part where they were talking about Trump in a room of black people, and he was like, what'd he say, nobody, or I've done more for the black community than Obama ever did.
And it was, it was at the end of her feature, because she had, like, read headlines that were things like, you know, one of them was like, is Chicago the new Syria? We'll be back at Fox News. And then she said that whole thing. Colin was like, you know, he said in a room that he's done more for black people than Obama. And Ego said, oh, God. And she was like, were there black people in the room? And he was like, yeah. And she was like, oh, Donnie, you're making it so hard for me. Give me some more headlines.
So it was great. Ego is also phenomenal on Update. I'm very upset they cut her 2 weeks in a row.
I know.
It's not even like last week her character flopped. Last week her character was also really, really funny.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate because she was great.
They better put her on Update sooner. I'm going to cut somebody.
Is this bedroom the new Syria?
Also, please, if anyone's listening, please put Cecily as Faye Dunaway back on Update. Okay, thanks, bye.
Lauren, I gotta tell you something.
I'm gonna tell you something, buddy. I'm really sick of on Update and on Update. I'm not gonna say who, but I'm really tired of it. Put some people, other people on Update.
Segway, up next was the jury duty sketch, which was also
weird.
Also back on our Emma Stone and BTS episode. So if you want to go back, you will also be able to hear us talk about that one. I'm glad it made it because it is so goofy.
How bizarre that they picked two cut sketches from the same episode.
I know. I guess it's because Emma and Kristen are relatively the same age.
Yeah, maybe they're similar profile. Yeah. Anyway, so everything was pretty much the same. Last time they did this, the sound quality, I don't know if you guys, you might not remember, but what we talked about basically was there was a guy standing off stage with a microphone, and it wasn't noise effects. It was actually him making the stomach growling noises with his voice, which was very cool.
It is very cool.
And this time, that did not work as well.
It just didn't sound as much like the song as it did the first time. But it's really funny to see, like, the cast reacting to the noises, because that's not pre-recorded. They're doing it in the studio, so they don't even know what it's going to sound like.
And it's funny because you could see on all their faces that they were a little bit tickled and trying not to break.
But they were all really excited and really, like, enthusiastic for the sketch and dress rehearsal. When they came out, like,
I mean, more than half the cast is in it, first of all.
Tons of the cast is in it. And they, when they were coming out, because, you know, they play, the SNL band will play music while they're setting up the sets and stuff like that, and everybody's getting in position. And while they were doing that, the whole cast was, like, dancing, or, I mean, like, Kate was, like, bobbing her head. Cecily was, like, I don't even know what she was doing, singing along, but, like, making instrument noises with her mouth. And somebody was, like, playing drums and dancing, so they were having a full party on the way out for this one.
Yeah. And I mean, it went over well. A lot of people laughed at it, so.
I thought it was funny again.
The next sketch, Amanda called Threesome Piggy Boy.
I don't even know.
Which makes me laugh, Piggy Boy.
I don't even know what it's called online. I haven't looked.
I hope it's called Threesome Piggy Boy.
Threesome Piggy Boy.
I did not think this sketch was funny at all until the end when Bowen came in. I thought Bowen saved it.
Yeah, I agree. Because the whole time you're just like, what is Kristen Stewart doing? She is playing herself? I don't understand.
Right. I kind of like, these are kind of like old school sketches where, not really, but some people know what I mean. When like they do the entire sketch and then the butt of it, like the punchline of it is literally not until the end of it.
Right. It's like a twist. You know what I mean? And that's the punchline.
Anyways, in dress, they had a little technical screw up. When they started the sketch and everybody was dancing because they were in the club, there was no music, so it was very awkward. And some people in the audience were like, you could hear little noises because it was awkward because there was no music at all in the background.
And everything else was pretty much the same except in dress rehearsal when Bowen comes out and they're leaving, he squeals like a pig.
And it was real funny. And I was like, why did you not let Bowen commit to that? He's so good.
He's so good at everything.
And the last sketch of the night was the Constellation sketch, which actually was first in dress rehearsal.
It was?
Rehearsal.
Rehearsal.
Yeah. It was first in dress rehearsal.
Yep.
And tell the people why you think they switched it, because I liked your theory.
I don't remember my
you
theory.
You said about, because in dress rehearsal, this sketch did not go over well, and Kristen had a hard time.
Well, and the Rosie the Riveter was last in dress rehearsal, but she seemed the most comfortable to me in the Rosie the Riveter sketch all through dress, and she seemed pretty uncomfortable during this one and didn't have any, like, confidence in herself. So I think they maybe switched the positioning of those two sketches in order to pump her up and get her, I don't know, give the episode energy that it needed.
Yeah,
because in dress rehearsal, I hate to be like this, but in dress rehearsal, the whole episode bombed.
Yeah,
dude.
I know you guys all really loved it, but man, we walked out of that show
upset.
Upset, because it was so poor.
Yeah, everything fell flat.
And it wasn't the cast. I'm sorry if we have Kristen Stewart listeners listening. I am very sorry. I'm not hating on her. Amanda loves her. She's a great actress. I think that dress rehearsal just, she had a hard time. It was in front of the audience. And she did better in live, but man, our show was not good.
Yeah, she did do better in live. And I think that a lot of, like, the live show's energy that everybody liked was because Rosie, they started with Rosie the Riveter.
Anyways, they moved this one to the end, which was good. Or they moved this one to the end for the live show, which was good because Kristen did way better than she did in dress.
Absolutely,
her performance was very poor and weak in dress.
But and I wonder if it wasn't because, like, Beck's mustache kept coming off in dress. And I wonder if the whole thing just felt wrong. I don't know.
And also in dress, when they panned back to the sky, you could see the box around
the green screen.
And it was very visibly showing. And it was
actually, it wasn't a green screen. It was actually like a digital background. But the colors were just not the same.
Yeah, so that wasn't particularly great, but otherwise the sketch was the same. Like Amanda said, Beck's mustache kept falling off, and every time,
which is great,
it made the audience laugh a lot, and it made him giggle, and he kept trying to like stick it back on his face every time they looked away from him.
His mustache came off. We'll tell you about this sketch in a minute, but his mustache was coming off in that one as well, and it was the exact same side. I don't know what kind of struggle he was having with the mustache this week.
I don't know. Anyways, and that was it. And then there was Good Nights, which were cute. We already said that Kate came out in her little jumpsuit.
Yeah, in dress rehearsal.
Oh, you tell her what she did to Kristen in dress.
Oh, yeah. In dress rehearsal, when she got hold of Kristen, she picked her up off of her feet entirely.
Like, literally, as soon as Kristen said good night, Kate ran up to her and picked her and, like, almost threw her over her shoulder, like, hugging her and stuff. Yeah. It was very cute.
You can really tell that they have an affection for each other.
I think Kate has an affection for everybody.
Well, no, I think so too, but I mean, this is like for each other. I mean, everybody loves Kate too.
This has been the first person she could also pick up this season. Everyone's been bigger than her.
That's true.
Anyway, so for cut sketches, we have how many that were cut? Five.
Five total. One has been uploaded, the coffee shop, which we talked about last week.
Yeah, because that was from last week's episode. So we'll start with the cut sketch, the ABC song. You do that one.
Okay, I love this. I'm going to call it the ABC song. I don't know if anybody...
I did not love it.
I don't know if anybody else has seen this on Twitter or not, but Jill has. They really have changed the tune of the ABC song. We learned it, you know, HIJKLMNOP. And little kids have a hard time. They say no.
They do. I teach preschool, and I'm happy with the change. And right. I'm very happy teaching it because kids don't understand LMNOP. Kids don't understand that.
When the sketch was going, Jill was not laughing. And I was thinking that's because she knows the truth of teaching it to small children.
It's true. And a lot of kids say LM and OP. Mm-hmm. And they think and is in there. I'm like, no, it's not. And is not a letter.
And part of the jokes in this was... You know, she brings the, Kristen Stewart is the teacher, and she brings the little kids out, and they sing the new ABC song, and it goes something like, do you know the new tune of it?
No, but it's like...
It's like...
L-M...
H-I-J-K-L-M-N-O-P-Q-R-S-T.
It's like that, yeah.
So the point is, it's wrong. It's wrong, according to, you know, those of us who learned it differently. And also, that is the point of the sketch, is all of the parents who were like Kenan and AD and
Chris Ego,
all of the parents were like, what was that? And I think that, like, AD's character was like, they just came out here and they were singing the wrong ABC song like a demon chant.
And one of them was like, I forget which one. They were like, you made me hate my kid.
Yeah. So that was like the whole thing. And then the like principal comes in and is like, what's going on? And then I think it was Kenan who said it, because it's so funny because they don't say the LMNOP. Mm-hmm. He was just like, this teacher changed the NNNOP.
It was just them basically just talking about how much they hated it and how wrong it was and just going at Kristen really hard.
Who was just saying, you know, I'm really sorry. Like, I didn't.
I'm just trying.
Yeah. So then Mikey, as the principal, says, everybody come to my office and we'll talk about this.
Well, first of all, the principal came in and they told him what was wrong. And he was like,
what?
He was like, what? You did what? And he took the side of the parents.
Yeah.
And the sketch was funny until this part. It got totally ruined.
I don't... the ending of... the closing of this sketch was so bizarre.
And it ruined it.
Yeah, it really kind of did. Because, like, the principal takes all the parents out to go talk about it. And then she's saying, oh, I'm really sorry, I'm really sorry. And then she was like, I'm really sorry, my plan worked. And the screen goes red and she like growls
smoke
like a
comes
demon.
Out. Yeah, and she like, her eyes turn colors and like she does like the like rock on sign and sticks her tongue out and just pretends she's like a demon and it's
which
ridiculous.
I guess was a callback to that line about you have them chanting it like a demon summon or something.
But it just wasn't funny.
No, it was a terrible ending and I hope they bring it back with a different ending.
Well, they're not. Oh, yeah, because they cut it. Okay, yeah. So anyways, next was the coffee shop, which again, if you guys listened to last week's episode, this was cut last week, possibly because a set piece was visible during Coldplay's first song, maybe in the background. So they were like, well, we kind of have to show it.
That's kind of what I was thinking. But like also, you know, they changed it around. They did not last week. They didn't have Kate and another player being Tegan and Sarah. They didn't have that.
Line. No, it was Chance.
Chance. And he was being the I just found out about feminism. That whole thing.
So I don't know. I guess they just decided and they thought that Kate as Tegan and Sarah would hit harder. And then my favorite other favorite sketch of the night that I'm very sad got cut because I thought it was very funny was Armadillo. It was called Armadillo Annie's.
I think the concept of this one is funny, and I hope that they will bring it back with somebody else.
I think, I'm sorry again to hate on, I'm not trying to hate on Kristen. It's just she's not great for SNL.
Well, no, and she was across the studio from us during this, and her mic was, like, not working, so I couldn't hear anything she was saying.
Would you agree that, like, if they brought this sketch back with a different female host, that it could be super funny?
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. Like, I think the concept is funny.
I don't want to blame it on Kristen, but it's just she wasn't great in this sketch, and it kind of made... It,
but I mean...
The other girls couldn't play off her.
Right. And that's because, what I was thinking. Yeah. Like, because it had Kate, Cecily, Ego, Chris, Bowen, and who was the other guy? Was it Beck?
Yeah, all really,
really
funny...
Really funny people in it. So I couldn't understand why it wasn't funny. The only reason I can think of is because, I don't know, but like, imagine, you know, like Emma Stone in that role.
Yeah.
And I think it would have been funny.
So basically, they were in a bar like Coyote Ugly where the bartenders dance on top of the stage, except they were, you know, it was all females and they were supposed to be like, you know, it was like, it's not a gentleman's club. It was like a combination of a gentleman's club and a bar. And they dance on the stage for money and stuff. And
they dance on the top of the bar.
On the top of the bar. And Kate was the, like, MC. Bar. Yeah, MC bartender in this, like, little, like, Coyote Ugly tank top with, like, tattoos and long hair. And she was the MC talking about, like, the girls that were coming on stage. And the first one was Ego. And she came on and she was, like, a typical girl, like, a typical waitress. Everything was fine about her. She was saying things like, we're going to crush you into the ground. And
Beck's character was like, what did she say?
Yeah.
But Chris was like, shh, they're talking sexy. Just let them do it.
And then the next one that came up was Kristen. And her thing was like, I mean, she looked like a normal bar dancer girl, got up and started dancing. And her bit was that, like, they were like, she doesn't read. She can't read at all. And that she was basically just dumb or whatever. And then the two of them started dancing. And then Kate was emceeing and she was like, and we got one more dancer. And
I wish she hadn't come at all.
Yeah, she said, I wish she hadn't come into work tonight. And it was so funny because Cecily Strong appears as a dancer, but in like full body cast.
Like a neck brace, a chest brace, knee braces,
everything. Like, and they were basically talking about how she had, I forgot how she got hurt.
She jumped into an empty pool.
Oh, yeah, she jumped into an empty pool.
I'll do anything to make a splash. And Kate was like, there was no splash.
Yeah, they were like, she was like, there was no water, honey. And so the joke was that she couldn't get on the bar, up on the bar to dance. So they were like, how are you going to get up here? And she was like, don't worry. And then like this big, thick man who was an extra. Yeah, he was playing the, what is it called?
The bouncer.
And he lifted her up under her arms and onto the table and they lifted her up and she started like dancing awkwardly in this body gear and she was like, I can still do it, don't worry, you guys, ooh, you like this, and just stuff like that.
It was so funny.
And then, they were picking on her and stuff, and
she at one point she ended up putting like a plastic shield thing
over her face.
She was like, what did she say?
She said, don't worry about this. The doctor told me I had to keep it on when I'm dancing. And she was like, don't worry about it.
And then finally, I think Beck was like asking her, she was talking about how she always wanted attention and things like that. And I think maybe Beck asked her if she would ride a motorcycle in that gear. Is that what it was? And she was like, I'll do it for $50. And he said, how about 10? And she said, okay.
Well, first of all, before she even happened, they were like, how are you going to get, I don't know what her name was, like Janice or something. They were like, how are you going to get down, Janice? And she was like, same way I got up.
Sexy.
Sexy. And it was the bouncer helped her, like, was bringing her down flat on the stage again. But instead of...
Oh my gosh, yes, yeah, down flat on the top of the bar.
And on the bar, instead of coming off, she rolls off the bar, clearly onto a mat on the ground that we couldn't see. But you hear a crash. And so she broke herself again. And she sits up and she's like, I'm fine. And that's when Beck said the thing about a motorcycle. And it was funny.
She was tickled by it, too. Like, she put that plastic mask thing back down over her face. And her hair got caught inside it. And she was trying to, like, get it out. And it was so funny.
And, like, Kate and the other girls were tickled by Cecily too, because I mean,
who's not?
Cecily playing this character was so funny.
It was really good. It was really good physical comedy.
And the girls all looked great in this sketch. You guys missed out.
They were all hot. Okay, our next cut sketch was a digital, actually, and it was called Uli's Fashion Blog.
Again, no, well, actually, nobody was in this except
just Chloe.
Yeah, just Chloe was the only person. I thought Amanda said this was okay. I thought it was hilarious and it really made me laugh a lot.
Well, and Jill said she thought it was so funny because basically in the sketch, Uli is a fashion blogger on YouTube based, and she was like in.
But she has a weird accent. She's like
Russian or something.
Russian, yeah.
Finnish. Something. I don't know. Dutch. I don't know. But she has some accent and she has come to New York for Fashion Week. And basically, it was just her walking around Rockefeller Center, just
with
like
a,
in
like
the plaza.
An iPhone camera.
In the plaza with an iPhone camera. And like, you can tell the camera crew is like across the way, zoomed in. So these people don't know that they're on camera and she is talking to them.
And you could tell they don't know they're on camera because some of them had their faces blurred, which means they had to go ask for consent forms after Chloe did it. So I thought it was funny because clearly. I like this. What is the word? It was candid, completely candid. Chloe went up to these people, which is very brave.
As her character.
As her character, and was doing these things, asking them questions. Like, she went up to a group of, like, guys and was like, ooh, what are you wearing? And she was like, what were they talking about? She was like, your peepee or something?
She said something about, like, and why are you wearing this? Are you just rich men?
And then she was like, you mean your pee-pee, right? Or something. And she was like, okay, I have to go now. I'm very horny. And they were just looking at her and they started laughing awkwardly. And every person she interacted with, you could tell they had no idea this was real.
Was
they were
brilliant.
Like, what is this crazy person doing? And it was so funny because I was like, they've never done that. And I thought that was great.
I anticipate that this will be back, especially because it's already filmed and edited
together. Yeah, and there's no host in it, so they can show it whenever.
Maybe it'll take the place of the Fitbit digital and dress rehearsal.
I really liked it, and I thought Chloe was very brave to do that. It was funny.
I think
funny.
So, too. I thought it was I wasn't, like, laugh out loud funny for me, but I thought it was amusing, and I thought it was interesting and original.
Yeah, yeah, and Chloe did a great job.
And we all know that Chloe is very good at character work, and she was a character in this, and I liked that from her.
Yeah, I did too. I hope you guys get to see it.
Yeah, hopefully it will be back at some point.
The last sketch of the night, I don't know what happened in it, so you're going to have to tell everybody.
Jill wasn't feeling great, and Cecily was in this, and you know she's not feeling great when she's not paying attention to Cecily.
Yeah, I was not in a well place, friends. I was not in a good place.
No. So I call this
and
one...
And she was right in front of my face.
I know.
And I was not in a good place.
I remember.
I was not about to throw up in front of her. So I was like, I got to make this work. So I just hid.
She did. I call this cancel culture, which, speaking of, do we want to tell who we saw
by the
line?
We'll talk about at the end. We'll talk about, stay tuned for who we saw after or during while we were. My pony.
That's exactly what it was like.
Amanda's stomach just growled. It was funny. I don't know if I hope the mic picked it up.
I bet it did.
Anyway, so we're going to talk about who we saw later. But anyways, go into the sketch.
Okay, I call it cancel culture, and in this one was Cecily, Kristen, and it was Ego as the third, right?
I think so, yeah.
I think it was Ego as the third. They're having wine at a bar, talking about their kids, being children, whatever, whatever. And Beck was just some dude there by himself with a pitcher of beer.
Beck was playing the character called Every Straight White Middle-Aged Man.
cishet white dude.
Yeah, that was the character Beck was playing.
It's true. And
he had a weird porn stash.
He did have
a
that kept falling off.
Yeah.
And he was basically eavesdropping and, like, inserting himself into their conversation without consent.
And, like, the girls were talking about things like how kids nowadays are too whatever, and my kid tried to tell me I'm canceled, and my kid tried to say this about me. And then Beck's character would come in and be like, yeah, yeah, my kids always use the word toxic and canceled just because I called a girl hot in class or something.
And you find out, because he's saying my kids, and then he was like, well, I didn't see them something something, and she said, you don't see them for however long. And he said, well, I mean my kids because I'm a shop teacher. And he was like, and then I got in trouble and I got fired, whatever that means, for calling a kid ugly. So you can't call him hot and you can't call him ugly.
And he was just being literally every sensitive white man who gets mad when we tell them they're being toxic, basically. Yeah. But it was funny because Beck just kept using the word toxic and the girls are like, why are you using that word? None of us called you that. Because he kept being like, do you think I'm toxic? They keep calling me toxic. Am I toxic?
And then he kept being like, let me get you another round. And they were like, no. And then he tried to like pour beer in their wine glasses. And
they were like, that's not what we're drinking.
Cecily's character kept being like, why do you keep asking if you're going to ignore us anyway? I don't remember how it ended.
I don't remember how it ended, but the, I guess, quote unquote funny part was supposed to be the end, but I don't remember how it ended, but like that was the sketch. It was, he left. I don't remember at all because I was not feeling well and that was the last sketch of the night, so.
Yeah, and just miscellaneous, no Fitbit digital this week, but they did re-air for dress rehearsal the Grouch sketch, Grouch digital.
But we were sitting behind this, or in front of the soundboard for this one, and the guy working the soundboard behind me, I heard him go, they're playing this again? And I was like, bro, you don't even know.
But he does know.
Yeah. Yep, so that was the show. It was okay. I mean, the live dress rehearsal was not great. I'm going to be honest. It just wasn't.
We rewatched the live show and live was better.
Yeah.
It improved, which is the point.
I also said that I mentioned that I think it wasn't also as great for us because three of the sketches we saw that night
we had already seen.
So we were like, what? Anyway, so do you want to talk about the standby line a little bit?
Yeah, so it was the first standby line that was cold.
Yeah, it was cold.
It started...
I stayed warm, but it was cold.
Yeah, I think it got down to low 40s.
47, I think, was the low.
There is no way it was 47. I'm pretty sure it was 42.
Really?
Low 40s.
Oh, all right, well.
I brought a cot, slept on it for the first time. It wasn't great. I can tell you this because I had a hard time sleeping. But when we move over, I didn't give myself enough space, so I was, like, on top of Jill, and the guy beside me was on top of me, like, very close together. Mm-hmm. So I didn't feel like I had enough space to, like, get my tarp situated, any of that stuff, which sucked.
If you're gonna bring a cot, you would tell the people, you would probably suggest to bring, like, some kind of pad, right?
Yeah, because I'm a side sleeper, and there's no give to a cot. It's very hard.
Yeah, I don't think I'd like that, then.
So, well, I mean, I'm going to get, like, an inflatable thing to put on top, and that should help.
Yeah, for sure.
But, I mean, it's better than trying to sleep on your side in the chair.
So, yeah, the cot went out, but you like the cot overall?
I think I'm going
to... Do you like the cot better than the chair?
I think I'm going to, yeah. I mean, everything new kind of takes a second to get used to, but I think I'm going to because I was having a hard time with the chair this season.
Yeah. They did the same thing again where they moved us to 49th Street, which will
at
be a thing.
7 p.m. I mean, sharp.
It's a thing. They did it the exact same way they did last week. So I think that's going to be a thing. And it went over a little more smoothly this week.
Yeah. We chatted with some folks who have been listening to the podcast. So if you're hearing this, email us your experiences. That would be so much fun for us to be able to read, you know, experiences from somebody we got to speak with in line.
Yeah. I want to, because we know how we feel about it doing the line. But if this was your first time, and it was your first time doing line and they moved you, how did you feel about it? Like, yeah. I'd like to hear your perspective.
Yeah, me too.
We talked to some people who work on the show this week and we told them about our podcast and, you know, they asked how we could improve the line and we told them a couple things. So we'll see what happens. But the fun thing that happened in line this week.
Okay, guess who we saw?
We first already of all, spoiled it on Twitter, but...
Guess who I saw? I saw the dog who was in the canine press briefing sketch.
Oh, yeah, you saw him come out.
I did see him. He came out the door of Rockefeller, you know, NBC. He came out I don't know, pretty late at night, I was walking to get the car and he was coming out.
And then just randomly when our group of friends, we already spoiled this on Twitter, but if you haven't heard it already, our group of friends was standing just in a little circle, just talking.
Chatting.
And all of a sudden I went, holy shit, because no one else notices except me, because I don't know, I'm not going to boost myself here, but I'm really good at faces. I am.
She is good at faces. So she grabs hold of the back of my shirt and she had said, holy shit. And I knew what that meant was, like, I'm seeing somebody. So I turned around and I see this face and I recognize it. And Jill goes,
that's Shane Gillis.
That's Shane Gillis.
Shane Gillis was walking by MBC.
And he thought that Jill was a fan.
Well, first of all, this loser had his earphones in, like he had his AirPods in, like he was listening to music.
But he clearly heard her
his
say,
AirPods were off, and he was walking by the standby line. His AirPods were off, but they were in his ears, making it look like he wasn't listening. I said, "Holy shit, that's Shane Gillis!" So obviously, he heard me,
and he turned around and he grinned real big and what?
Gave us a peace sign,
and then Jill flipped him off.
I gave him the middle finger because I was like, "Oh no, buddy, I'm not your fan, and I don't like you, and I'm not." Excited
yeah,
to see.
We're not gassing you up. We want to know why you're here.
So I flicked him off and then he turned again and he looked very confused. Shook. Like,
and he kind of like waved confusedly.
And then he left. But we all turned to each other like, what is he showing his face here
happening?
For? Like, why is he here? So that was bizarre.
It felt like a glitch in the Matrix.
I was like, is this dude walking by to see if anyone will notice him? Is he like, working behind the scenes on SNL that we don't know about? Like, we could not figure it out why he was there.
Well, I don't think he came out of NBC. It looked like he was just walking past Rockefeller.
And he lives in Manhattan and his thing is based there, correct?
I don't know where he's based.
I don't know either, but...
I mean, he was talking about Chinatown, so I have to assume that's meant, like, New York.
It was very bizarre that late at night he was walking by the standby line. I think he was trying to be noticed. I don't know. Maybe he was just trying to, like, creep on it or troll. It was weird. It was weird, guys.
It was weird.
I hope I never see his face again.
Never.
I'm sorry to all of you that like him. I don't. He's not a good person. Yeah. Sorry to this man.
Not sorry to this man.
Except I can't use the Keke Palmer joke, and I'm really sad because... She said, this man could be walking by and I wouldn't know a thing, but I did know a thing. Anyways, so sorry to all you that like him, but he's not a great person.
But it was a good line, though.
It was a good line. No problems, really.
No, we didn't. We have not had problems the past couple episodes.
Yeah, don't jinx that because next week is going to be hell.
It's going to be, yeah.
Hell.
Yeah.
Hell.
Are we cutting this?
Hell. No, I'm not cutting it. It's going to be hell.
Going to be awful.
I'm going to tell you now, don't start any cutting bullshit if you're listening now and you're planning on it. Don't. Because I'm already ready to go.
Yeah, for our next episode, we have our guest, Aubrey.
Ooh, a special guest. Don't tell them. You just spoiled it.
For our next episode, we have a special guest who I can't tell you who it is. But it's a very special guest, someone we love from the standby
dearly.
Line. And just, spoiler alert, she says she'll throw hands for Harry Styles.
She says she's going to beat anyone else up who cuts, so I believe
her. Don't try it.
No, but for real, if you guys do have questions about doing the Harry show, please message us. Feel free about it. We're being funny, but also, I mean, if you're listening to this one now, we don't need to be lining up Monday.
Please, God, do not be lining up at the beginning of the week.
Don't be... like the BTS line was.
And here's what. We have the number for the Rockefeller control room. We will be making contact with them, possibly multiple times a day if we have to try to reiterate and reconfirm that that is not allowed anyway. NBC's security has said...
that NBC's rule...
is that the line cannot start at the beginning of the week. So...
whether or not that happens or not, we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't actually control the standby line. So... if it happens, I mean, I guess it happens, but that's NBC's rule, and we're hoping that this time they stick by it.
Yeah, just don't be a-holes. Just, like, line up at the end of the week, like, a normal line.
Last time when Harry people tried to start lining up Saturday and Sunday, they were turned away, and they were told to come back later in the week, so.
And they turned away BTS fans on Saturday and Sunday as well.
Yeah. Oh my God, can you imagine being in line for
No. It's too cold to be in line for that long.
Oh my God, it's going to be cold. It's going to be rainy. Don't come till the end of the week. Let's all shake hands that we don't line up until Thursday at the earliest.
Deal.
All right, so
I guess that's it.
I guess that's it.
Stay tuned for our next episode. Very special guest from the Standby line. We will talk, well, we really just talk about their first time in Standby and their experiences and all of those fun things for our off week free for all situation. In the meantime, don't forget to rate and subscribe to us on your podcast listening platforms. Also, please write us a review. It really helps us.
And if you'd like to be featured on an episode of the Standby Line, email us your stories and experiences about doing the Standby Line. Include your name so we can talk about
it. Yeah, next off week, I think we're going to read some stories. So email us at snlstandbyline@gmail.com. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Standby Line. And you can visit us at our website, snlstandbyline.com. You've been listening to the Standby Line. That's Jill.
You just dropped the mic. All right, this is Jill and Amanda. Bye.
You can't do that while I'm picking it up.
Bye.
This is Jill and Amanda. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.